Welcome once again to another edition of the MLS Multiplex Podcast. Here I am, your host today, with Tony Rubio. Again, how's it going, man?
Hey, Jordan. How's it going, everyone? Glad to be back on here talking some MLS and Open Cup this week.
For sure. Yeah, we got a good show today. We're going to touch on the Open Cup, like you mentioned, a couple things MLS, and also going to touch big on the Gold Cup because we got a big thing going on with Team USA. But first and foremost, our music today brought to you by The Regrets, established in Seattle in 2016. So feel free to check them out if you like what you hear. But let me ask you, man. So we'll just dive right into it right here. United States versus Martinique. So going into this match, you know, looking at the schedule, looking at what's ahead, it was kind of viewed that Nicaragua and Martinique would not give the United States any issues at all. You know, but then they looked really flat. They you know, just did not look like the team we expected to see take on Martinique. So I don't know. I'll let you start. What stood out to you the most about the United States and their play?
After I wrote my little three takeaways from the Panama game, I wrote a couple of stuff down, and I think it was kind of the same thing after watching the game yesterday versus Martinique. And I think there was a huge lack of wing play for the United States. Obviously, we didn't really take, it seems like, many pacey options. And I think that's kind of hurt us a bit, but also just like in the center mid, I know we have like Kellen Acosta, who's just like on the hype train right now. He's a great player, but maybe we're giving him too much responsibility because it seems like it wasn't flowing right through the middle of the park. We did have what, like 60% possession, but obviously that's like, not disrespect to Martinique, but that was going to happen regardless. And it just didn't seem like the chances were going in. I thought Jordan Morris had a great game, regardless of the two goals yesterday. He was pretty active all throughout. But, I mean, not to jump on the hate like everyone else is, but I don't know why Jai Cesar is on the pitch for the United States. Doesn't seem to bring much.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, it was a hard one to watch and to swallow. Like you said, you know, pace was definitely missing. I think I saw Matthew Doyle tweet something similar before the match as well. And like you said, there just wasn't a lot of full and consistency all throughout the middle. And yeah, it could be a variety of reasons. You know, Kellen Acosta, he got the start, like you said. You know, Paul Arriola, he couldn't really get anything going. Missed that slide that was a potential goal at one point as well. And you know, it just kind of everything that I was nervous about when I saw the roster and everything going for this tournament kind of made itself evident in this match. You know, I questioned, you know, who was going to lead and guide the midfield. I questioned our forward play, even though Jordan Morris scored two goals. Like you said, he had a pretty good game, but it just that, like, everything that I was worried about this team, about not having, you know, the pieces enough to really go after right here, kind of made itself evident. And yeah, they should have ran Martinique out the field, which is the most frustrating part of it, is that, you know, it was a relatively close game, and right up until the end, you know, you felt nervous that Martinique was going to make something happen. Yeah. And that's really frustrating with how they've been. And like you said, you know, Zardes, he hasn't been good for the Galaxy this year. He hasn't really been good since he got hurt. He wasn't super great before he got hurt either. I know Klinsmann, you know, made a good run with him, I think last time around. And it's just, he didn't really stand out then. He hasn't stood out now. And it just, like you said, brings to the question, you know, why is he even on the field, let alone in the 23-man roster? So I don't know. But we got one more chance. Well, I guess comparing between the two games, because I was actually pretty disappointed in the 1-1 draw against Panama as well, like you mentioned. So what was some of the steps you between the two? Or what would you take? What would they need to change to get things going against Nicaragua?
Well, I wish it was already the knockout stages so we could bring in Michael Bradley and Josie, honestly. That would do something we would change. I think we got to keep Dom Dwyer in the match. I think he's been great so far when he's been putting on the USA jersey for the two times he has, and just the runs he's making, even though he didn't get that many touches in versus Panama when he did. Obviously, we made them pay, and I know we're trying to get some experience to some other guys, but we've already seen Kellen Rowe and Dom Dwyer deserve to be on the pitch. So,
Sure. No, I definitely agree. Yeah, I thought Dom Dwyer was one of the few people that I actually felt good about in the Panama game. And yeah, he You got a break, but with this being a tournament and how quick it is, then you gotta kind of take what you get sometimes as far as the rostering goes. At least Morris did good, but yeah, Dwyer was definitely missing as far as that bite that kind of gets things rolling, and maybe he would have put away a couple more chances even though Morris got two. So you gotta wonder that way. But they have a good chance right here to turn around against Nicaragua, who is another team that they should just run off the field. And it's kind of, no offense to Nicaragua, it's kind of tough to say that, but that's really how they got to look at it from here on out. And so, Panama, they look good against Nicaragua. They'll have Martinique right here too. I think I was looking. We don't want to go in as the second place seed. Obviously, you want to win the group and have the easier way in, but we'll just have to see. But I want to ask you too. A lot of stuff is debate. We've talked a lot about the field players, but what have you thought about Brad Guzan, and what do you think is going on
Man, I really want to
with
like
him?
Brad sometimes, but that goal that he let in yesterday was unquestionable. It triggers me back to the memory of the goal he let in versus Jamaica in the past Gold Cup, where he grabbed it outside of the box. Not in similarity, but just that Guzan can't be making these kinds of gaffes in major tournaments. I mean, up until that moment, I think Guzan had been a rock. And I was like, okay, wow, maybe he's finally stepping up. Rush is going to be his. But I don't think we can trust him as our starting goalkeeper. And I don't know if I really want Timmy Howard in there. It's not a good time for the US goalkeeping pool to be dropping in form, honestly.
Which is something we're not familiar with. We've never had
Oh, yeah.
the goalkeeper problem of all positions, and now all of a sudden that's different. So yeah, it remains to be seen how things go right here. Maybe we'll see Sean Johnson or Bill Hamid get a chance against Nicaragua. But
I hope
like
we
you
see
said,
Bill.
personally me too. I'd like to see him finally get a chance. And looking forward, it's just one of those things. Like you said, we get to make six changes before the knockout round. I'm sure they're going to use all six. It'll be nice to get some of those midfield pieces back as they try to make it run into the final. But I guess let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about the rest of the tournament. So obviously we've got Mexico coming in tonight. They're the tournament favorites. Their group has been pretty interesting. With Curaçao, I've actually been pretty disappointed in Curaçao. I thought they would
Me
be,
too, me too.
I thought they'd be a little bit better than they have been. They kind of got worked by Jamaica a little bit in kind of a sloppy match, and then they're getting rocked right now by El Salvador too, which is one I thought they would at least have a chance in. But as far as their group goes, what stood out to you? I think it's Group A. What's Group A?
Well, straight off from Mexico. I follow Liga MX pretty well, but there were still some names that were pretty obscure to me on this Mexican roster, and it seems just things are not going great for them injury wise. I know I forgot his name right now, but one of their center backs went down that was supposed to be starting, and the same thing was happening in Confederations Cup. But striker Elias Hernandez from Club Leon, he really stood out. He really stepped up his game versus El Salvador. I think he put in like two goals, and
Three. They went 3-1. 3-1.
prior to that, I was really questioning who was going to step up for Mexico and in this big game, and Elias Hernandez did. And, I mean, obviously now tonight, Kubo is going to start. Kubo Torres from the Houston Dynamo is going to start for Mexico, so we'll see if this rotating wheel of strikers works for Mexico. But so far, it looked good in the first game.
Sure, for sure. And I did mess up. They are Group C. We'll talk about Group A here in a second. But yeah, as far as in their group, Mexico looks to be the front runner. I don't know, Jamaica looked pretty good against Curaçao, but now that I'm seeing what El Salvador was doing to them, maybe they didn't look that much. So we'll see how the Jamaica and El Salvador matchup goes here in the next couple of days. But just given what you've seen, do you think the United States has what it takes to beat Mexico in this tournament? Because that's really the question that's on everybody's mind is will the U.S. be able to beat Mexico?
No, not from what I've seen, not from what I've seen so far. As much as I want to say yes, if you put up the Me if you put up the Mexican national team against the US right now, I think our defense would possibly go to shambles. I don't know if Matt Hedges is in there again. not to hate on Matt Hedges, I was eager to see him finally make his debut for the national team, and the fact that he struggled against a Martinique was troubling, considering how dominant he is in MLS. I don't know, Kevin Parsemain was having his way with the U.S. back line, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think it was our very own Eric Harris, you know, in our Slack chat was saying, yeah, that no player on the field against Martinique should make the World Cup roster, and you know, just kind of that reaction.
That might be a little bit of overreaction, but I understand where he's coming from.
yeah, but it's just kind of they played that bad is what it is, and like you said, you know, Hedges he's been one of the top defenders in MLS. And that's the problem, is that he was so bad against Martinique, who is a lower level. If you just look at the names and the players and where they played, they're lower. And so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the United States has what it takes to beat Mexico. I think that – I don't know. I'm not even sold that they're going to make the final. You know.
I agree with you. We really need to see some changes.
Yeah, so that's the thing, too. I mean, I thought Panama so far has looked better than the United States.
Yep.
Obviously, they did when they played each other. And then from the other group, we'll get into that group A. It's kind of an interesting group. So, you know, Canada is currently in first place on goal difference. I haven't been super impressed with Canada either. But, you know, at least they're coming out trying to – it looks like they're going to advance into the knockout round right here regardless. And Costa Rica, you know, they're always a good team. They kind of went with the more domestic-based roster. I know they had Joe Campbell coming in and off the bench, which is kind of an interesting choice. You know, with – that was like – the last thing that happened to Klinsmann was Joel Campbell came in, you know, in Costa Rica with like 30 minutes left. And I think he scored twice in that time when we just got rocked down there.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the thing, you know, I look at these teams and I look at how the United States is playing, and that's just not clear to me that basically I feel like it's Mexico and everybody else, as much as I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Group A though, with Canada, Costa Rica, Honduras, and French Guiana?
To me, this has been the most exciting group of the Gold Cup so far. We got not CONCACAF powerhouse. Oh, yeah, Costa Rica, I guess I'd put them up in that CONCACAF powerhouse there. And Honduras is obviously a very strong side in CONCACAF. And I'm not going to say I agree with you on Canada playing badly after I was there in person to watch the Gold Cup doubleheader in Houston on Tuesday night. And
nice.
In my opinion, Canada rocked the socks off Costa Rica. I was pretty disappointed in their showing. And honestly, Alfonso Davies, man, that guy deserves all the hype he's getting, because every time he had the ball versus Costa Rica, he was torching their left back. He switched. I'm pretty sure he switched wings at one point. He was torching both outside backs. What really impressed me from the Canadian national team was the composure on the ball, actually. There's many times I saw them playing at the back, which, no offense to Canada, before in matches that I've seen them, it's been kind of like lower skill level, and you would expect them to be more nervous against a side like Costa Rica. But they were really calm on the ball. Players like Scott Arfield have really turned up well as Alfonso Davies, and it's been pretty nice to see guys like Toussaint Ricketts get some minutes for Canada, considering he plays pretty well for Toronto off the bench.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So it'll be, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I guess you're right. I overlooked the Costa Rica match. But I don't know, they just showed a lot more composure and you know, they were a lot more fluid, like you said, with their attack, especially compared to the United States. That's who I'm comparing everything back to. You know, I've actually been a little disappointed with Honduras, just because they have all those Houston Dynamo players. You know, you should be super familiar with that. So I expected them to look a little bit better, just because, you know, they all play on the same club team. But, you know, they're in a transition period as well. I think Minor Figueroa is still their main guy in defense and everything that way. And then they have a lot of guys from their national league that are trickling in. And so, but, you know, they make it a bump as well because of this whole thing with French Guiana. And, you know, that could actually throw things in pretty crazy, because, you know, that would put them, I guess technically they would be in the same place, but they'd have 3 points and almost guaranteed that they're going to go into the knockout round with that. But like you said, that's the most exciting group. So, you know, we're almost on the tournament here. We've got the last game of the second round right here, Mexico and Jamaica, kicking off here in about, you know, 30 minutes or so. We'll try and be wrapped up by then. But then, you know, it comes down to decision day, and it'll be pretty close. But let's shift gears a little bit. We'll talk about a couple things in MLS news. I don't know if you saw this right here, but rumor has it that the Los Angeles Galaxy are about to sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Coming out of the LA Times, record deal, one of the biggest deals in MLS. I don't know. Will Zlatan fix the Galaxy's problem is the main question. And that's why I propose to you.
Obviously it's not going to be an unfix-all end-all kind of stopgap here, but I guess kind of in the fashion that Schweinsteiger came in and gave Chicago this momentum to put them where they are now, I think if Zlatan were to sign with LA, it definitely would bring back that star power prestige. I don't know what your opinion is there, but I did see a point brought up to me earlier today on Twitter about some people saying Kurt Arnolfo seems like he can barely get some of the respect that he can get from some of his lower average MLS players per se. How would you expect him to control Zlatan and his ego slash like power, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then, the thing about it too, and then with the Galaxy, so they have Jelly Van Damme too, and that's I've seen that before. Obviously, it was well noted that Kurt Knoffel benched Van Damme earlier in the year, and that kind of was like a statement, like you said, 'cause, yeah, maybe he's losing the locker room or doesn't get respect from his players, and that would make sense given how they've played recently and all the stuff they've got going on. And so yeah, you bring in somebody like Zlatan, and at the same time they got Jermaine Jones on the roster, somebody else that has like a pretty big ego, not quite Zlatan level, and everything like that. And I don't know. And then Gio dos Santos, he's also kind of a bit of an ego that's not playing well. And so the thing that sticks out to me too is that Zlatan, he's not coming for this year, so I'm not sure this is the piece that they want to get. We've talked about here on the podcast multiple times now that the Galaxy need to do something this window to help ramp up before LAFC comes in. And Zlatan, he's a pretty big icon. You can still make an argument that he's one of the top 10 players in the world. And even with his age, he still showed really well at Manchester United this year before he hurt himself. And so, like you said with the Schweinsteiger thing, this is more like a retirement type move. But maybe with Zlatan, similar to Schweinsteiger, this is one of the ones that'll still pay off, unlike Steven Gerrard and everything like that. But yeah, like you said, this is more of a stopgap. I'm not, completely on board with it, especially with fixing their current problems. We talked about Kurt Knoffel. Maybe he's not even going to be the coach when Zlatan comes in, and that's going to be a moot point at the rate that everything's going. So I don't know. It'll be interesting nonetheless. He's rumored to be coming in for 7.7, making him the highest paid player in the league. And yeah, I guess it remains to be seen how that's going to go. But anyway, we'll shift gears right here one more time to the other U.S. competition that we got going on. Unless you have anything else you'd like to say about Watson and the Galaxy.
I mean, just about the Galaxy in general, I really don't like LA, just putting that out there after everything they've done to the Dynamo over the years. But
Right,
I
I fully
think
agree.
I would love to see Zlatan in MLS, but LA's focus right now really should be on their defense as they're getting shattered game after game right now, it seems like, with Daniel Sterra is out. They lost Adrien de la Garza in the offseason. Robbie Rodgers injured. Ashley Cole is saying he can only hold these younger guys' hands so much. So I think LA really needs to invest in a solid right back and center back.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And they did make one move. They got I can't think of his last name, Pele something,
Van
some guy that
Aanholt.
I, yeah, exactly. And so we'll see how that translates, or if it does. Just another kind of an interesting move. But I fully agree. I'm not, feeling too bad for him, because I love when the Galaxy suffer, just like anybody else. But it will be kind of interesting to see, because in the past they've been one of the more ambitious MLS clubs, arguably the most ambitious MLS club, which is why they kind of have a whole flurry of jokes about them getting special treatment and special rules made for them compared to everybody else. But that seems to be changing, and they're not keeping up with the time, so we'll see how they do that. But anyway, like I said, moving on right here, we'll dive into a little bit of the U.S. Open Cup, and we'll start with one in your neck of the woods, Dallas and Sporting Kansas City. And so what did you think about that one? The extra time contest, red cards, falling apart. I don't know. How else, how would you describe it on your end?
It's crazy, man. How did SKC pull off a win in extra time when they played with 10 men for over 90 minutes? Sesanovic red card in the first 15 minutes of the game, I believe. That's insane. I didn't catch that match. I caught some of the highlights, but from what I saw, Eric Palmer Brown really stepped up this match. Showed why he's got such a big aura around his name and why he needs to be playing more. Really, the heart of the team stood out. I'm pretty sure Gerso has been balling out for SKC in Open Cup play, but it was pretty surprising that Benny Fehlhaber didn't start for Kansas City. I don't know if they're trying to save him there, but he came on the pitch and really boosted them to that victory.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And they're moving on, and going. I guess I like with Dallas. That's the thing. Yeah, like Sporting Kansas City. They were set up to lose. They're playing with 10 men, for most of the match, and then all their goals in extra time, running away with it. And Dallas just kind of falling apart. We've talked about it before. Dallas has all the pieces right here to come back and make a run for MLS Cup, but I'm still not sold with what I'm seeing. Obviously, you're down there as well, and I personally think Houston is the better Texas team, just taking out of Texas, and I haven't been sold on Dallas, making a run like we've talked about before, and performances like this one aren't selling them for me anymore. So SKC, on the other hand, they're kind of the dark horse. They're still first place in the West. They've now got another chance right here to move on to win the Open Cup again, and I don't know. They seem to have some pretty decent pieces, and they could do it. They could do it. But they're also going to be facing the San Jose Earthquakes, who are on kind of a historic Open Cup run. They got a 3-2 win against the Galaxy. But I saw something. I think it was on Reddit that said that the Galaxy, they have the Earthquakes up until this year had never beat an MLS team since they became an MLS team in the Open Cup, and then they've never beaten the Galaxy in the Open Cup, and they've never made it past the semifinals, when the only time they've ever been there, they lost to Sporting Kansas City, who they're going to play this time around. So I don't know. It's kind of a cool little historic trend going. But what do you think about the Galaxy and the Earthquakes?
I think it's pretty cool the transition that San Jose has made so far from Dom Kinnear to Chris, whatever his last name is, Leitch or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I mean, we've already seen a little bit of a transition in their new head coach starting to play some of the younger players, and where Tommy Thompson suddenly kind of coming into this player that we've always hyped them to be. I guess that's kind of a theme of this episode, all these hyped players. But for Tommy Thompson, past a couple three or four games and scored his first MLS goal. I'm pretty sure he had an assist or two in this past Open Cup match. Jackson Yuhl, San Jose's first round draft pick this year, starting to get a lot more playing time. So coming together for San Jose, and Wando is still Wando, scoring goals like taking candy from kids in MLS play. So it's looking good for them.
Sure, for sure. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of the clash between these two teams, because, like you said, they've, it's always kind of interesting how coaching firings go. A lot of people were on the fence about Dom Kinnear and whether or not he deserved to be fired or should have been fired and everything that way. But you can't deny, in the short sample size sense, that San Jose looked a lot better. So just take that for what it's worth. Sometimes it's unnecessary the coach, sometimes it's just, the change of mentality and everything that way that comes with it. So it'll be interesting to see if San Jose can, one, squeak into the playoffs and MLS play and cap off this Open Cup run. Personally, as a Real Salt Lake fan, I am all aboard San Jose as far as the West, because I don't want Sporting Kansas City to win ever. As we talked about the Galaxy and everything like that. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. That should be a good matchup. Should be a fun one to see who goes to the final. So let's jump to the East with the only match that we can talk about right here: the New England Revolution falling to the New York Red Bulls. That match is ending as I speak right now. In fact, it may not end 1-0 unless it's already over. I'm pulling it up right now. I think it's over.
Yeah,
But the New York
Red
Rebels
Bulls.
advance. Yeah. So late red card for the Revs ended up being the difference maker. Lots of red cards in the Open Cup. Lots of red cards in the Open Cup. But Bradley Wright Phillips coming into the clutch, getting that final goal. And you know what? All I'm going to say is that whoever wins out of FC Cincinnati and Miami FC is all I care about when it comes to the East. So, you know, good for the Red Bulls. They struggled in league play. That's all I'm going to say for them. I don't know what you have to add.
I mean, I wish we could have seen this Miami Cincinnati game already yesterday, but
Yeah.
we're still waiting on the word for when that's going to be replayed. I was hoping tonight. I would have loved to watch that before the Mexico match, but this is a really strong opportunity, I think, for New York to get their first silverware in history, other than that Supporters Shield a couple of years ago. This is the first time they've made it this far in the Open Cup since 2003, I believe. And they're not having the best MLS season, but they still have a strong team, obviously. And anything can happen. They got, the young guys like Tyler Adams, Sean Davis, kind of unsung center back so far this season. Aaron Long's been put in some great minutes for New York. I think New York could take this cup out of all the teams still playing. I could see a little New York since Kansas City action, but I'm on board with you. I'd love to see Cincinnati or Miami win this tournament.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it is too bad. That was gonna be a fun match. It's probably gonna get bumped till next Wednesday since it wasn't today, because I know they both play this weekend, so they're probably not gonna squeeze it in too close. But just looking ahead. So I'm still fully on board with Miami. I actually think that this match helps Cincinnati. Having it postponed, I think, really helped because I wrote the preview for it. This is their fourth match in 11 days, and it was their third trip to Florida in that same amount of time. And so, that's a lot of back and forth. That's a lot of travel. And I know with their lineup that they put in, their three best center backs. They've been playing that 5-3-1 or whatever it is, or 5-3-2. That's been helping them through the Open Cup. Their three starting center backs were all out this one with injuries. And so,
Really?
but yeah, so bumming it back a week. So when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, Miami is just going to rock these guys. They're just going to run these guys off the field. The book slamming of the Cincinnati story as Miami moves on. But, maybe, just the craziness that is, soccer, that is going to provide a way that we're going to get a full strength Cincinnati against a full strength Miami next week. And get to go from there. So I don't know. I still think Miami's gonna win personally. But I'm curious to see how FC Cincinnati does with our first road game of the Open Cup. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that one, or how are you gonna be watching that one?
Yeah, I agree. I think Cincinnati obviously has a home field advantage. It's gonna be sad not to see that, but maybe Miami can pull a good 10,000-12,000 for this match, I think. But I mean, come on,
Just in the
Miami's
rain.
got, yeah. I mean, that Florida, those Florida summers get pretty much guarantee that every day. But it's Poku's just tearing it up. They got Stephen Pino. That guy, I think he needs to be on an MLS club ASAP, number 10 there. But there's some other, there's some more players. Who else did Miami have? They have
Vicente Renoa, the guy that's on loan. Yeah, and then yeah, they got Michel. They got a lot of interesting pieces. They got Daniel Vega, who came out of River Plate, in Argentina. He was more of a backup for them, but he was the longtime backup keeper for those guys before he ended up in Miami. And like you said, I think the thing about Poku that's interesting is I don't think anybody questions that Poku can play in MLS. Obviously, he proved that with NYCFC, but he's the highest paid player in NASL. I think he's making a pretty hefty amount playing down there. He would be a TAM player in MLS given his salary. I think it's like 750,000. So then there's the argument of whether or not he deserves that to play in MLS or how everything goes that way.
Yeah, I mean,
But
that's why these players wouldn't make the move to MLS because of the salaries they're currently on.
exactly. And then the same thing kind of goes with Pino. So obviously with him, we don't know how much he makes, but he is just scoring out of his mind right now. So he had the hat trick against Orlando City, and that was a good Orlando City defense. That was their same starting back line that played an MLS play the week after. It had Jonathan Spector and the other young guy that they've been playing. I can't think of his name right now. Tommy Redding. I think he played too. Yeah. Yeah,
Aha
and
and
Aja.
Redding.
Yeah, and so he saw, you know, basically the first choice Orlando defense, and yeah, still, you know, roasted him for a hat trick. You know, he scored a pretty neat goal against Atlanta the week after. He also had they were more of the backup defense, but that's on Atlanta. That's not Pino's fault. And then yeah, four goals against San Francisco Deltas in their last league game. So
7-0.
yeah. And so I was curious to see how he was going to do against FC Cincinnati, who have done really well. You know, we talked me and you actually talked last time about how, you know, Matt Doyle said that any MLS team with defensive struggles should be looking at Austin Barry, and I can't think of who the other guy's name is, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if an MLS team picks him up and how that translates. I know that you know, Orlando picked up a few NASL guys just this last offseason. They're all kind of floating in between Orlando City B and Orlando. But yeah, I think, you know, I wrote an article about this personally when I talked about how Miami would do in MLS. And I talked about how Minnesota United actually took on Stefano Pino last year, and he didn't really then decide not to bring him onto their first team lineup. And you know, after looking at their wingers and how he's playing, I'm gonna fully say I think they made a horrible decision not signing him, and they should regret it and maybe try it again. So I don't know. Do you think Pino can play, or how do you think Miami? This is, I guess, two questions. Do you think Pino would translate in MLS, and how do you think Miami would do it on their own in MLS?
I would like to see more of Pino playing. I'm looking forward to that Cincinnati matchup. But yeah, I think there's no reason he shouldn't be able to do it in MLS, especially if he was going on to a team like Minnesota. I think he could go on and start there immediately. And if Miami was in the league right now, I think their defense would struggle maybe a little bit, like looking at it right now. But you know, hypothetically, they would be making signings to boost their roster. But just like their midfield, I think is very good. They have Michael Lahoud, former Philly player, right?
Yeah, he played Philly and for Chivas, so.
Dylan Mahrez, I've heard a lot of this guy, younger guy, center midfielder, really controlling things. They got Ariel Martinez. I'm pretty sure he's Cuba's best player.
Yeah, in fact, last Gold Cup, he stood out with Cuba, with them. And then, yeah, he defected after that last game and ended up, I think he actually ended up with Charleston after he
That's the
defected. And then,
default Cuban team.
So, you know, he defects, ends up with Charleston, and then for some reason, I don't think he ever got to play for Charleston because of the transfer rules or whatever. But yeah, the Miami, you know, took him right up. He actually started for Miami last year until they brought in Poku, and so he's kind of a good piece to have as well. But yeah, like you said, you know, the defense probably struggles a little bit, which is where the question can be made. But it doesn't take anything away from the attack that I think is on par with a lot of MLS teams without designated player talent, which is the most impressive part of it. So,
Agreed.
but anyway, we'll just leave it from there. You know, hopefully we'll be able to talk about this match next time. You know, it's still kind of the most interesting match that's going on right now, the most intriguing match, I guess you could say, without MLS play. But we're getting there. You know, I know that we're just around the corner from having MLS come back just next weekend or next Wednesday. So, but until then, you know, the United States against Nicaragua. By the time this comes out, it'll be there. So we'll just kind of see if the U.S. can turn it around and how things work out. So, but anyway, man, I guess we'll leave it there unless you have anything else to say.
Yeah, no, just looking forward to these Gold Cup matches wrapping up this coming weekend. I think the U.S. really needs a strong showing versus Nicaragua for confidence levels, and obviously they're not going to finish first without, I would say, a good 3-goal difference between them and Nicaragua, so they can make sure they're in front of Panama.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure. And so, yeah, like we said, you got to win the group. We don't want to go into the second place. And so, just one of those things. But yeah, it should be a good one. Obviously, we want to see a strong showing. And then we'll be more interested in seeing who gets brought in with these six changes that they're allowed to make. So, but anyway, man, thanks for jumping on with me. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check us out on MLS Multiplex. Like, subscribe, give us a rating on iTunes, and all that fun jazz. And we'll see you next time.
Let's lock it up tonight.